You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Now, I know some of you who love to stay defeated are saying, Pastor, that's cheating. No, it's not cheating. The motto of the Marine Corps recon is to adapt, to overcome. We look for ways to win. I'm not cheating. I'm coming up with a new way to win. Isn't the purpose of the game to win? Nobody don't tell you how to do it. I need me a different kind of church. Y'all sitting there looking at my pastor, you ain't supposed to do that. Where in the rules does it say I can't put a row of queens on the front row? You know why it's not there? Because nobody ever thought of it. We are not fighting a conventional devil. We are not fighting a devil who's going to fight battles the way he did in the Old Testament. He's going to come through your friends. He ain't fooling with your enemies. He's going to come at your pocketbook. He don't care about your testimony. He's going to hit you in your body. And if he knows that your body functions will keep you in bed feeling sorry for yourself, he's going to keep on hitting you. But you've got to say, by his stripes, I'm healed. And I'm getting up from here. Yeah! Life is energy. It's a force. You need energy. Tell your neighbor, you need energy. Some of you, your energy's been drained. Give them some energy. Say, how do I get energy? Get around some praising people. Get up now and move around. Move from that dead person. Get around some living people. Because energy, hallelujah, is transferable. If you don't believe me, hold hands with somebody while they grab a hold of a positive wire. Not only will they get shocked, but you'll get shocked. You need to be next to somebody who has been where you are, but is going where you want to go. The whole body of Christ has a transferableness. It's called the anointing. The anointing is not for the person, it's for the body. I am come that you might have life. Power. 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 Life is eternal. It's forever. You either going to live in heaven or live in hell. But once you become alive, you're never going to die. Your body will go to sleep, but it will get up. For all that are in the grave will get up. Some to glory and some, hallelujah, to dishonor. Once you become alive, you ain't never going to be exterminated. And Jesus said, I've come to give you eternal life. And you don't have to get frozen by cryogenics. All you have to do is get washed in the blood. When you're washed in the blood, you now have eternal life. Cancer can't kill you. Diabetes can't kill you. A stroke can't kill you. Heart disease can't kill you. It can touch the muscles, but it can't kill you. And even if you go to sleep, by the word of God, you're getting back up because you have the life of God. Oh, somebody ought to give him a praise. Hallelujah. Life is security and enjoyment. God didn't give you life to be miserable. Won't never go nowhere. Stay stuck in your area. No, God gave you life to discover Mexico. God wants you to go to Montego Bay and get some jerk chicken off the stand, not at some bougie restaurant. Get it out the stand where they pour hot sauce in it that make you swear. He wants you to get some sugar cane in the little plastic bag that you buy from the vendor on the street corner. Lord, I wish I, Lord, help me. I want you to have, let me go on now. Glory. You're supposed to enjoy your life, not tolerate it. You're to enjoy it. Hey, that's the one thing I hate about Christian weddings. There ain't no dancing. Only thing we do is line dance. And that's getting old. The macarena. We do the macaroni and cheese. Then we do that, take it to the left, to the left. We do that. We've done that enough. It's time to dance like the Greeks. It's time to dance. Hallelujah. Yeah. Slap your heel. Opa! Jesus wants you to enjoy your life. To stop sitting up in front of the television becoming a couch potato. He wants you to get out and discover. Life, I've come to give you life. But life is only found in God. If God wanted you to stay home and do nothing, why'd he make such a beautiful world? Why'd he make beautiful trees and red roses too? When I look at all he's made, I say to myself, Niagara Falls, Mount McKinley, beautiful God. And here we just sitting around going to Blue Mountain. It's not a vacation place, it's a place of prayer. It's a place of consecration. Go other places. Do other things. Enjoy your life. Have children. The Bible says, happy is the man that has his quiver full. We don't even want children anymore. Our grandparents, my mother had 9 brothers and sisters. There were 10 of them. When we got together for Christmas, you'd have to call out the National Guard. Everybody. I had an uncle who believed the Bible. My uncle had 13 children. Now, he bring all his. My other uncles and aunts bring all theirs. All my grandparents did was sit in a chair in the living room. There were so many of us. But now we don't even have children anymore. We just, I don't want no kids. What if somebody didn't want you? How many of you in here right now, your parents didn't have any children? Let me see you raise your hand. Existence comes because of mother and father. But life only comes from Jesus. Existence comes on the natural level. Life comes from Jesus. And we are called to live the abundant life, according to John 10:10. The abundant life was realized in our parents and our grandparents as they migrated from places of economic deficiency to come to an area where they can have better opportunities for them and their family. I don't know what it was that brought them from Georgia, Mississippi, South Carolina, North Carolina, Alabama, or wherever your heritage came from. But something inside of them said there was a land somewhere where I could go. The pilgrims over in England were forbidden to worship God. So they got in a boat and sailed west. And wound up in a country that challenged them in the beginning. When they arrived, the ground was hard with snow and ice. They didn't think they would make it. Many of those early settlers died on the journey, but they had gumption. And God sent the Indians to help the pilgrims, taught them how to plant and to live off the land until they had become so effective in survival. You and I have lost that adventurous spirit. We don't want to try anything new anymore. Our lives are just dwindling down to nothing. My doctor said to me, she said, I can't believe that you're going after a PhD. At your age, at 32, you're going after a PhD. She said, I applaud you. She said, you're doing this at a time when most people say, well, it's time to sit back and do nothing. I don't believe God made me to stop being effective simply because I'm 32. There's a world out there waiting for my gift. Somebody in here has the answer to a disease, to a problem, but the devil makes you sit back and not even try. Somebody in the body of Christ has the cure for cancer and diabetes, but you won't even try because you don't want to live. You just want to exist. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and live it to the fullest. Our grandparents, our great-grandparents, they ran into adversity, physical, economic, or whatever type it was, but they kept on functioning. They didn't allow personal things to keep them from doing what they were doing. They kept going, but they gave birth to children who lay down and die just because they have an arm ache. Oh, my foot hurt. I can't go to work today. And our children are just as bad. We're going to close the schools because of the threat of snow. I went with the snow up to my knees. We've created an atmosphere of fear because we're not living. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and live it to the full. 130, that's it. So live your life to the full and let God keep you. I'm done. Now the Holy Spirit wants you to know this. Isaiah 53:1. Says, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? You get a report from God, you better believe it. Jesus came to give you life. You better believe it, he said. You better act like you know. In James in chapter 1, verses 2 through 8, he says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. What does he mean here? Any situation that comes in your life to pull your eyes off of God, he said, count it all joy. Now, I know it's difficult to count it joy when your body is in pain, but here's what I'm learning, and believe me, I know what I'm talking about. But the Bible teaches us that we've got to learn to give God joy when we're going through a trial. I'm not suggesting that the joy will remove the pain, but what it will do is prove to God that I'm not letting it stop me. You think God doesn't know what you're going through? Do you understand that God lets you have whatever it is you're going through because he knew the caliber of spiritual growth in you? He said, my child can handle that. They ain't gonna fall by the wayside. They can handle that. They know how to praise me in the midst of that. They might be a little upset, but they know how to hold on. He said, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. But let patience have her perfect work that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and does not chide us, and it shall be given to him. But you must ask in faith, he said, the Holy Spirit said, nothing wavering. Nothing wavering. When you ask, listen, is there anybody in your life, anybody, that you can ask them for something and you know, by beyond a reasonable doubt, that they'll do it? Do you have somebody in your life that if you were to say to them, look, I need X number of dollars to do ABC, and you know that they say, I'll have it to you by the end of the day. You can have that assurance. Do you have somebody in your life that way? Who is that somebody? Y'all better go with me now. Who is that somebody? Somebody said spouse. Somebody said sister. But nobody said God. Okay, you said God. They're the one saved among us. Now, why is it then that our trust shifts to the flesh? But James says that we ought to have that kind of faith. The faith that says whatever I bring to God, he will handle it. And when the situation is unbearable and it has gone beyond my ability to manage it, then I must employ Joshua chapter 6, verses 1 through 5. I must approach the situation in silence because I'm not sure of what God is doing. Once I sit there in silence and begin to understand that whatever I'm going through, God has a sovereign will involved. Then I begin to give him jubilant praise. Every day of the situation, I give him a moment of praise. And then there'll come a time when I give him what I like to call delivering praise. And I'm not just giving him participatory praise. I'm giving him a level of praise that will pull the walls of Jericho down. And every one of us confronts our life situations in that way. If I am sure that Jesus wants me to have life, then I will get to the place where I give him a level of praise that will pull the situation down. And with God, I must be flexible, for he will either pull the situation down or cause me to mount up with wings and fly over it. Beloved, there are times God will not move the situation, but he will move us. And he will raise us up to a place where we go over that thing. Through my God, I will leap over a wall and jump over a troop. Brothers and sisters, you and I are called by God to live a life that is abundant. That means that you and I now are called by God to live this way so that we may have something to give to someone else. Abundant means I have enough for me, but I have some to share with you. You see, we have not been convinced that the abundant life is real. Our preachers, bless their hearts, in many cases they say the abundant life is your accumulation of material goods. But that's not true. For you can get material goods simply from being a good steward of your finances. And sometimes, listen, if we're honest, many things that we purchase, God never told us to buy. When you have the money, you don't have to pray. You just go buy it. But when God gives you something, everything God gives you at some point in your ownership will be used to bless somebody else. If you're a genuine believer and you have an object that you really, really like, don't be surprised when God calls you and tells you to give it to somebody else. He will test your faith. And if you are reluctant to give it, then he doesn't own it. You do. And if you own it, he's not obligated to watch over it. You ought to live a life that says, whenever God blesses me, I look to bless someone else. I don't need to keep hoarding and adding to my collection. I need to receive that new blessing from God and pass on the other ones to someone else who needs it. In doing so, I tell God, I don't own this, you do. And you want me to bless someone else. Brothers and sisters, the abundant life is not about receiving. It's about giving. God gave his son. The son gave his life. And then he went back to God, and they gave the Spirit. And he has turned us into givers. Are you living the abundant life or the selfish life just for you? We cheer for football and baseball teams, and justifiably so. It's the home team, rah, rah, rah. But do you cheer for those who are downtrodden? do you cheer for those, as Proverbs chapter 31 says, that we should speak up for those who cannot speak up for themselves? And be prepared to help those who are incapacitated. The abundant life is designed to be infectious. That means that the life I have should rub off on someone whose life is under mine. I will encounter people through my daily walk who are not as blessed as I am. How do you handle the man or the woman standing at Dunkin' Donuts or Wawa wanting money for a cup of coffee? Jesus says in the book of Matthew, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. But since the Pharisees were not godly, he could not have been speaking about personal holiness. A careful exegesis of the passage tells us that Jesus was saying, unless your justice exceeds that of Pharisees, he says you can't enter into the kingdom. The abundant life makes us givers. Jesus goes on to be questioned by an expert of the law who says, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said, how do you read the law? He said, well, I'm supposed to love God with all my heart, mind, and soul, and I'm supposed to love my neighbor as myself. And Jesus looked at him and said, you've spoken well. This do, and you shall live. And the man got his, he got a little, arrogant. He said to Jesus, who then is my neighbor? As if to suggest, if I can cut that neighbor part out and just love God, I'll be all right. Jesus went on to tell him a story about a man who was walking down a road and was fell upon by thieves, and they beat him into the ground. He said a priest walked by and just kept on walking after seeing him in that incapacitated state. He said a Levite walked by, and the Levite stopped to go and look at him to investigate the severity of his wounds, but then he walked on by. He said it was a Samaritan who is despised by the Jews, who stopped and picked up that man and bound up his wounds. You knew that this man had an abundant life pattern, because the abundant life is made to share.
We pray that you were blessed and encouraged by the message you heard today. To order today's message, call 215-885-2585. When ordering, refer to the program title,
Principles of the Kingdom,
or the program number
01419P.
If you'd like to view the Climbing Higher daily telecast, tune in to WBPH-TV on Comcast Cable, Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. Please check your local cable listings for the channel number in your region. To stream Bethel's Sunday services live, visit BethelDeliverance.org or download the Bethel Deliverance app on iTunes or Google Play. We stream live on Sundays beginning at 8:15 a.m. and 12 p.m. You're also invited to join us in person by attending any of our Sunday services taking place at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 p.m. at our main sanctuary located at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Winco, PA. For more information about Bishop Lambert and Bethel Deliverance International Church, follow us on social media through Facebook and Instagram, or contact us at 215-885-2585. Thank you for tuning in today. Keep climbing higher in the Word of God.
In times like these, you need the Bible. Bethel Institute for Biblical Studies will provide you with the best instruction that brings life to the earth. For your knowledge and your growth in the Word of God, register right now. You can call 215-885-2585, extension 315, or visit BethelDeliverance.org.